This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 547. I am Brian Kilby. With me this week, based on the order that I see them on my screen, we have Matt, a.k.a. Malvar.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. I guess we'll find out how, you know, depending on how the Skype recorder works.
That's true. Diecast. I'm about to call you Diehard.
Remember, that's Melvar with three L's and two R's. You can follow him on Twitter.
Yes, you can. Melvar. And you can follow Diecast too at Diecast too. Okay. Don.
Hi.
Don, what was that amazing pun that you had earlier? Remember.
Yeah. When Thanos finally gets all of the gems, then he'll be truly, truly, truly outrageous.
I laughed out loud when he said that.
Bad Don.
Thanos and the Holograms, the next major cinema reboot.
It can't be any worse.
I know.
Yeah, right? That's true. That was Chris.
You can follow Don on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR.
And Rob.
Hi.
How's it going?
Not bad. Just making sure this recorder thing is recording. So
good.
And Rob is the chipper one of the night.
He is.
I'm getting back into chipper after Fortress Maximus took a header off my desk and broke his rear ramp off. So
It's bad that happened. But you said he took a header off the desk.
He did.
So I have to kind of smile at that. So that was.
I'm sorry. That sucks.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah.
I'm probably the chipperest out of everyone today because I got something.
No, you're the one. You're the one that needs to be fed into a wood chipper. There's a difference.
We'll get to it in a second. So I saw this week that Matt participated in the Last Night Before Christmas, which is our this year's version of our annual Toys for Tots drive.
Indeed, I did. I've actually donated twice now because we're doing a drive at work too. I posted the picture of my personal donation on Twitter.
As I guess Chris wrote in the show notes, there's a New Titans Return refresher case out there. Let's get rid of it. Yeah.
So I saw the most miraculous thing at Walmart this week. All of the movie deluxes were gone.
What?
Wow.
There was not a single one of them to be had in that store.
Have those people come to my Walmart now?
That must have been someone doing the Last Night Before Christmas that was really tired of seeing all that stuff.
Well, it was a bunch of slashes and I think nothing else at that point, so probably so.
So when you participate, and you really should, it helps out a kid in need and he gets crap that we don't want off the shelf. Tweet at us at TF Radio or post it on our Facebook page at facebook.com/TF Radio. I think Toys for Tots only has like another week or two before they stop collecting, so get out there quick. I'm doing it tomorrow. Anybody get any Black Friday stuff? Anything?
Well, are we going to talk about the sales that we jumped on? Because a lot of us didn't get the Black Friday stuff yet.
Yeah. So what did you see? I'm asking. So I didn't participate in anything.
I saw a lot and it was very hard not to jump on everything. I'll mention what I did jump on first. Big Bad Toy Store had the Shattered Glass Masterpiece Optimus Prime for $100. I jumped on that. TF Source had Don, what's that headmaster you really like? Was the third of the set. It's the red and blue one.
Oh, not headmaster, but target master, isn't it?
Point blank?
Point blank.
Contact shot.
So I picked, he was $99.
That's a good deal.
They had him, and they also had the Battle Tanker with, I believe it's with the truck part too, the robot, for $49.
Oh, wow.
So I picked that up, to Donanomics and get over the free shipping. I picked up a little, Dr. Wu kit for like $8 for Bumblebee. It's the cane to make him
pimped out.
Whatever. Yeah. Pimped out Bumblebee.
Make him old Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's hobbled IDW Bumblebee.
Oh, I like the idea of like
Yeah, Pimp My Bumblebee.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something else I'm forgetting.
Any major electronics purchases?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know.
We don't care.
A bunch of stuff. I got like a Spiro. And
yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Transformers! Damn it.
Well, I saw a bunch of stuff I would like to have got. I did pick up from BBTS. They marked down Bike Robo from
yeah, how much?
Toys, $30.
He's worth that.
So I went ahead and picked him up because I picked up the leader one at TFCon. I'm gonna give a shout out to Ben E because I think he's the one that saw it. But if it wasn't Ben and it was someone else, I apologize. About the anniversary Optimus that I had picked up a few months ago with the dented box version, the chromed 07 one, Amazon dropped it down to $29.99. And so
Optimus, which version of Optimus is this?
Movie 07.
Movie 07.
Who cares?
Yeah, movie 07. But
Don cares.
Yeah.
But I've always liked that toy. Again, I think it's because the Nightwatch Optimus looks so great, it's sort of carrying over to everything else. But I wanted one in the box, and the box I got with my scratch and dent version, of course, the box was pretty shot. And I had a $10 credit on my account for some reason. I had no idea where it came from.
Nice.
So I figured $20 for a box, that version's box, why not? So I got that.
Don, real quick. Let me just apologize. That's awesome. And when I said who cares, honestly, I was disappointed because whenever I hear that, I always confuse it with New Year's Convoy, which I thought would have been awesome.
One of the stores had a bunch, had the Fans Hobby Monster Bots for $90 a piece, but I had just gotten mine last week, so I didn't pick those up. I was going to pick up that Despotron that Chosen Prime had, but I'm going to try to hope Brian can find his so I can get it from him.
Don't wait out on that, Don. If you can get it cheap, get it.
Okay.
Hey, Don Paladin, in respect to your Bike Robo, he had the greatest comment. He said, "Careful, Don. That can lead down a vicious Psykill."
Psykill. Yes, he used that. He used that joke in our shout the other night, and it was terrible then.
That's a great joke.
It is. It's horribly wonderful. So thank you, Paladin. Appreciate it.
Oh, I'm having flashbacks of superhero time.
Well, it's not the huger jokes, you know, that those just keep chugging along.
No, that you'll have to wait for the rails. Loco toy.
Hey, speaking of superhero time, now that that one episode of Star Trek is on the, you know, the outs, are you bringing back superhero time?
No.
Okay.
That wasn't even in consideration.
Boo,
I mean,
boo. Probably do like a baseball podcast next.
No.
Good. Okay.
Curling, maybe.
Curling. What else you get, Don?
I picked up I'm sure everybody follows me on Twitter knows I was having some issues finding the Power of the Prime figures. My Target showed them in stock, but nobody could find them for the entire week. So finally, I stopped in Saturday. This is last ditch effort because the sale ended Saturday. And all the deluxe Power of the Prime was sitting with the DC Universe Justice League movie figures on a deck plate.
What?
So I picked just randomly thrown there on the deck plate. So I picked up everybody that I didn't have because I found Dreadwing in Roanoke. So I got those. And last Friday, the last of my third party stuff came in that I ordered a few months ago. I had picked up Jermaine, Brian. I picked up Jermaine. The three pack of sweeps that had the Starscream part, the Metroplex eye, and the transformation cog. The third part, I picked those up for him, and I dropped them off down at Acme. He says, "Hey, by the way, Monday."
Oh yeah, I was there this weekend.
Yeah, and I picked up the second part of the Trinity Force combiner, the red car. So I'm because, as I said. If anyone needs an upgrade to a third-party toy, it's Road Caesar.
Yes, you have said that.
You said that before. Yeah.
Yes.
But he's not wrong.
Yeah, because no. I've got Road Caesar, thanks to Tony Prito back in the day. It's not a good toy. I'm sorry, it's not. And then Monday, I was down visiting my aunt, getting leftovers. And I found the Legends. So I got Beachcomber, Windcharger, nice. And Slash.
My local Target may have that stuff. I would just have to go, and I'm not going to because I'm pissed off that they didn't have it all last week.
And also we're in the Christmas shopping season now, so any day you would choose to go would be disastrous.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm doing tomorrow for the Toys for Tots run, but we'll see. Don, anything else? Diecast, anything that was non-Black Friday related?
Well, I did get one thing that was lost overseas for about 3 weeks, roughly. And he's quite beautiful.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't do anything for me.
And look, they even have an insignia for the con that it was at. And I didn't notice this till I transformed it.
It's missing a wheel?
No. There's actually an insignia somewhere on here that gives the limited edition number that matches the box.
Did it match the box?
Yeah, it matched the box.
Oh, but did it match? Did the curtains match the carpet?
Everything's red. Oh, God. On it, so yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm just asking if Diecast's house is decorated correctly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'll be honest, I really would like to get that, but since I've got BotCon Megatron, that's not quite of a must get, but it is a gorgeous toy.
I don't see it.
It's pretty, but seeing it, like, you know, in actual plastic on a screen here, I'm not really, like, I don't feel an overwhelming need to have one.
It doesn't do it justice unless you see it in person. Like, I think what really does it is the translucent wings.
Those look really cool just on the camera.
And they're just all ratcheted. Really nice.
It looks like a Zord of some sort to me.
Yeah, the cheapest price I've seen is one for $230.
Oh, dear God, no.
No. Well, yeah. They did, Jason Kirk on Twitter did point out that this is now available for pre-order at Big Bad Toy Store for $120. So it's a regular release. It doesn't have the markings for the convention overseas, of course. But you can pick this up without the limited edition number on it for $120.
Or all the hassle Diecast went through.
Yeah, or you know. It being lost in China for 3 weeks.
I can see the reflection in Don's glasses right now. He's pre-ordering one as we speak.
Yeah. That's funny.
I don't know if every retailer is going to have it or if it's just Big Bad Toy Store, but I know from just looking on Twitter that Jason pointed out that Big Bad Toy Store does have a pre-order up.
Wait, so is this based on Double Cross?
Yeah, that's based on their Double Cross, but it's got retooling, like the wings are different.
So I love the look of Double Cross, but I don't love the look of this, so there's just something about it.
I love it. I'm very happy to have it.
And I kind of want to see them do one in Gigatron, Robots in Disguise Megatron colors.
I actually did an unboxing for it on the RFC Reviews channel, and tomorrow I plan to shoot the full review because I just wanted my hand for a little bit to experience it. And then I put the unboxing video up there just because I didn't think this was going to get a regular release. So I thought it would be something different that a lot of people didn't see, like the box and all that stuff.
The box may still be different from the one that'll be in general release. So it's
worth it. Yeah, my box has the limited edition number on it too. Yeah. That matches.
Chris, did you get anything?
Well, I finished out what's available of Power of the Primes Wave 1 with the Prime Master. So I've got Skullgrin, Cloudburst, and Metalhawk.
Oh, Chris, hold them back up real quick?
Yeah, hang on.
Oh, my God, they're tiny.
They're beautiful, though.
Well, I mean, they're the $5 price point, Don.
I know, but I thought they were bigger than that. Good grief.
small. For some reason,
the Titan Master replacements. I mean, they were going
to.
Maybe see the Titan Master set in there.
Okay, it's just for some reason they didn't. I knew they'd be small, but they didn't seem that small.
There's something poetic that I love about them.
So, like, the positives about them, the sculpting on them is really good. They have fairly good decos. I think Skullgren's probably the most simplistic looking, but it kind of makes up with extra sculpted detail. Metalhawk and Cloudburst both have openings in where the visor would be in the helmet, so you can see the Titan Master face through there. That's really nice. But, like, when it comes down to it, these feel so, so much less engaging than the Titan Master vehicle playset thing.
I can see that.
Because, I mean, it is all literally a variation on one single theme. There's not a lot to... Like, once you have one, there's not really surprises with the other one. So
would you say that about? Would you say that about Spy Changers, though?
I would, but I like Spy Changers more than these.
Yeah.
No, seriously, Don, Spy Changers are love.
Spy Changers all do the exact same thing.
They're awesome.
So, I mean, with the Prime Masters, I think it is really going to be down to, like, character choices. If there's a pretender you're really into, it's worth picking one up for $5 or $6. I don't think anybody really needs to go completist on these.
I do.
At least all of the different Titan Master molds brought something new, different to the table every time. It was more of a, like, what kind of wacky little gadget am I going to get this time? Whereas this is, whose pants am I buying this week?
They're like Pokemon. You got to catch them all.
You know, I really don't. I want to get, like, Octopunch, Submarauder, you know, the more, like, out there ones.
Yeah, there are a finite number of pretenders. So, I mean, it's not going to be quite as bad as the Titan Masters, where
there's also a finite number of primes, so figure there's only ever going to be 13 of these things.
Yeah. And probably actually only 12.
Yeah. Yeah. So by going completest on this isn't necessarily going to break the bank, I don't think.
It's not, but I mean, I don't know how much someone's going to get out of it in terms of, like, toy value.
They're going to look good on my shelf.
Damn right. I'm going to agree with Diecast here. I would like to have the little...
That's totally valid. That's totally valid. They do look really nice. That's why I started out praising the sculpting and the deco, because they do present well. They're just not very interesting once you get past that point.
What else did you get?
I definitely agree that as a kid, you may not want to have 13 of these, but or 12.
I'm also irritated that now they have... like pinned rivets holding the bodies together instead of screws. Yeah. So you can no longer get like Trent Troop's replacement faces and swap out the backpacks.
Yeah, they learned. They were like, we're not going to let people upgrade these easy.
It's probably just cheaper.
I would think a screw would be cheaper than the rivet. Well,
I think cheaper than either of them would be glue.
Yeah.
Thanks to Don, I got the clone 2-packs. I've got Wingspan and Cloudraker. So Cloudraker is just as bad of a thing as Fastlane. The Autobot one is super inferior to the Decepticon clones. Although this does remind me of what a knockoff Zeta Gundam would probably look like. So that's something, I guess.
Wingspan is magical.
Wingspan is pretty nice. Yes, I kind of wish the arms had like a tab or something to hold in place.
But the
joints are also like stiff enough on them where it's not a huge deal that there's not. So you know, I've got this. I got Pounce from the box set. I also have two sets of the Decepticon clones from Takara on pre-order. I like the Decepticon clones enough to troop build them. Because they're clones, there's going to be a lot of them. Don?
Sorry, I was going to say, when you said troop build, I wonder if we're going to get these as Energon recolors for Battle Ravage.
I would absolutely get Battle Ravage and Dive Bomb recolors of these. Dive Bomb had a great deco. I love that toy. Especially if we got the one. Sorry, Don.
Yeah. No, it's just that made me think of it. It's like, that's something that I can see them doing, but it would be some kind of show exclusive or something.
Well, and then by the same token, redeco this as Skyblast, the Omnicon Skyblast, and do Fastlane as what what the hell was the little Jeep Omnicon's name?
Fallback was the BotCon version.
Right.
Strong arm?
Was it strong arm?
It was. Okay. Yeah.
Somehow I didn't remember that name going that far back. The first, like, wasn't one of those Cybertron mini-cons, the police car called Strong Arm?
Yeah, the black and white
the police car.
Yeah.
That was, like, I thought that was the first use of that name, but yeah, that very well could be an Omnicon. So, I mean, you could actually get Omnicon Terracons out of them if anybody cared about Energon, which they don't.
Well, does Energon have an anniversary coming up? Or is it already passed?
Well, Armada also had an anniversary, and so did Beast Wars.
Beast Wars got the most point love.
Point taken, yeah.
From Takara.
Yeah. So I also have the Legends toys for this month, at least the deluxes. So I've got Double Cross, or as I like to call it, LG-52? Well, LG-50 whatever, Haywire with Double Cross.
I like the colors on that better. Nice. I mean, it's darker, but I like it.
Yeah, there is a little bit less contrast to some of it. Like, the red and the dark gray don't quite stand out from each other like the Hasbro one. But yeah, overall, I do like the colors on this. The quality control on it is actually not any better than the Hasbro one. This actually has looser joints in several places more mold flash in places where it really shouldn't. On the other hand, I love how they have this set up to use Haywire in the Dragon mode, because they drilled a 5mm port into the Titan Master cockpit hatch, and then you can just kind of set this up as a dragon with a mounted cannon, and I kind of dig that.
Nice.
So that's the one that I got only for the Target Master, because I make great financial decisions. And Misfire I got because Misfire I got because A, this is a really nice retool, because I got to handle Hey Mickey's before I gave it on to him, and I like the deco on this a little bit better. There's in pictures the variation doesn't really show quite as much, but there's a lot of little areas of color on this, so it pops more in hand. And you got things like the inside of the cockpit is all painted silver, like the seat and the control sides. So that looks really good. Titan Master Headmaster is decorated more. Oh, I need to find, well, I think of it, White Leo from Double Cross, which has all kinds of paint on it, which obviously this is not going to show in detail on the webcam, but there will be pictures of this, like gallery coverage of this coming up. And the Target Masters are basically fine. I found that Aimless kind of will live up to his name, because I can't get the gun barrels to sit level when the hand peg is straight up and down. So the barrel is always going to be askew from Misfire's hand.
Odd.
That seems accurate somehow.
Yeah. Well, actually, it seems very inaccurate.
Inaccurate, yes.
But I think that's all I got, and it's probably going to be... Oh, no, actually, I got something to help with that photo coverage, come to think of it, because I found out Lowe's was having a sale that ended today, and some of these LED utility lights I use for studio lights were $10 each.
I've heard those are very good.
I came home with a small stack of these today.
I've heard those are excellent lights.
Yeah, I use some. And I also got another roll of this Rubbermaid shelf liner, which is a translucent white plastic material, which... a few layers thick makes for decent light diffusers.
I hear that's also excellent.
And costs all of $6. So
I might recommend that you buy that stuff.
Well, you might, but I mean, we don't get an Amazon kickback from that. So I don't really see the point.
Anything else?
I think that's everything this time. Yes. I also had some Taco Bell today, if that counts.
Very nice. Matt?
I have nothing but sadness this week. Sorry.
I hope I contributed.
Rob?
You, as always, you did.
Well, thanks to Hasbro, I have Power of the Prime Swoop. They sent a box T-Formers way, and I got it.
Nice.
Thanks very much to them for that. I really like Swoop. I agree with pretty much everything Chris said in his review. Nice figure. Don't like it as limbs. Kind of over-detailed. But yeah, I like it. And it's pretty good.
Joint tolerances.
They're they're pretty much fine. The hips on mine, I think, might be a little bit better than the than yours.
Good. I was hoping that wasn't endemic.
Yeah, but the tension, again, I wish there was some kind of tension or, you know, clip or anything that held the beak onto the robot face.
Yeah.
You're entirely right about that. And yeah, that is kind of a pain, but otherwise I have no real complaints about it. And it's also the
weirdest thing too, because you can tell they intended that to be like a friction connection to hold that up. And mm-hmm. the head is painted too. Like there should be that extra little bit of thickness to actually grip that. And it still doesn't.
Yeah. I have a feeling that's something that worked properly on like hand painted prototypes.
Or, you know, in the CAD models.
Yeah, well, the CAD models. But yeah, the Prime Master I got was Cloud Burst. I had actually ordered the rest from Hasbro Toy Shop. So I'm with Chris on all of this. I like them fairly well. I do not see myself needing to have all of them. I will probably get like some of the, you know, shell designs I like later on and then call it, because, you know, unless you really want to use these as like substitute target masters for some of the target master guys you got in Titans Return that don't have their guns, there's not really a point in having every single one of these.
And that's not a bad option either, because they're just as valid as most G1 target masters in how they work.
Yeah, I imagine they're pretty much identical, but but yeah, they're not bad. I recommend having at least one. Find the one you like the most and start there and see if you want to get any more stuff. Also, I sent some stuff off of my Amazon wish list, and I just want to thank some people. Thank you to whoever it was that sent me the Marvel Legends Spider-Man and Shocker 2-pack and a Destiny Mega Construct set with a Racing Sparrow and the Cabal Phalanx figure. Those are both really nice. The Phalanx figure in particular, it's about 1.5 times the height and twice as wide as the standard Mega Bloks minifigure. It is a really nice toy. I like that a lot. It's fun. And also, thank you very much to Barricade 64, who got me the Marvel Universe Spider-Man Sinister Six box set when that was like $15 on Amazon on Monday.
Wow. Oh, that's a great deal.
That is a beautiful set. I don't even want to open it because it's just this, you know, set of really nice Toy Biz cards strung together. You know, if I ever want to get those toys out, I am going to have to take a razor knife to that very carefully so I don't hurt anything, because that packaging is just too nice.
You know, fancy packaging like that is great, but collector-friendly packaging is also pretty nice. And also, I did forget, I got two items off my Amazon wish list too, another microphone arm and a adapter piece for putting lights on that some anonymous person sent. I wish people would include notes or, you know, otherwise speak up, but whoever it was, thank you for that.
Yes, thank you to both our mysterious benefactors, and also a family friend dropped by and dropped a PS4 Slim on us. So
that's
the family model now, and I now have a PS4 of my own.
So. I wish I had family friends like that.
Yeah. Beats the crap out of the Spider-Man in the other thing.
Yeah. I can't say Rob, that.
I can.
The Spider-Man set is mm-hmm. back up to $73.
Damn.
Yeah, so that was really well timed.
Yeah, it's no, good. I would say that Sinister Six set is certainly a good gift, and you know, a PS4 is a PS4, but still the Spider-Man Shocker thing is cool too.
That's amazing. That's
absolutely
awesome.
Is. Let me just, you know, let me not gloss over that for a second. The Spider-Man that comes in that 2-pack is actually the best Spider-Man in this scale that I have seen. It's got the more McFarlane-y face sculpt, and it's based on the Marvel Universe Steve Rogers body, so it's got probably the most articulation that anything in this scale ever got.
Is this the same one that David Fake Eyes always takes pictures of its butt?
No, that's the probably the 6-inch equivalent of this, which has a little bit more articulation. Oh,
okay. So that's the little one you're talking then.
But yeah, this is all 4-inch scale stuff, since that is the scale I bother with. But yeah, this It's a really nice figure. And the stupid thing is, it's so well redone, I didn't realize it was the Steve Rogers mold until the right leg popped off the same way it always does on my Steve Rogers figure.
That's amazing. Is that the same mold that that came in the single pack version of that?
Any idea? I honestly don't know.
There was a recent version of the 3¾-inch Marvel Legends Spider-Man that I wanted to pick up that I didn't want to drop like $12 at Walmart or whatever stupid price it was. So I held off.
Oh, sorry. Last time I saw this set on Amazon, it was probably about that much for Spider-Man and Shocker. Shocker has a little bit less articulation. He's a newer body and they've been cutting back on that, but he's still pretty decent.
Cool. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, I got, thanks to Don, the Pounce, actually the Wingspan, and I haven't transformed the Cloud other Raker. One. What?
Cloudraker.
It's Cloudraker. Yeah, it is. Okay. So I turned him around. It's like, oh, there's the nose cone. They're clones.
Well, it works.
It works. So I got that, and I mentioned before that I had ordered Lambor from Amazon and from HLJ, and I didn't realize it, and I got a shipping notice from both. Yeah, so I have Lambor, or Sideswipe. He's nice. I guess it has a different face than the previous version. I actually got rid of the previous version because I bought the KO version of it and I felt bad about it, so I got rid of it. And I was at Acme Comics in Greensboro this weekend, and I was looking. They have a pretty good selection of Transformer stuff, way more than your average comic shop would have. It's such an awesome comic shop, too. And I was going looking through the stuff they had, and yeah, I mean, obviously, I have most of it. But there's one thing in there that I have, or I didn't have, that I got rid of years ago. For some dumb reason, I got rid of my Machine Wars Optimus Prime. I don't know why. I think, if I remember correctly, I got rid of it thinking I had a duplicate or something, because I had so many freaking toys. But I bought one. It was less than the eBay price for it. It was right in front of me, so I got it. It's in great shape. I'm very happy with that. And there was an artist there selling prints of stuff. I have no idea who he was. He was a local guy. Very nice. We talked for a while. But he had some Transformers prints that for sale. I got a Grimlock and a kind of like the print that I had before, a Grimlock with an Optimus Prime G1 riding him. So it's kind of cute. That's what I got. Not much. Let's see here. Let's jump to this week in history. The reason I think I mentioned Spy Changers before is because Chris was good enough to put this in the show notes.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
God, this hurts. This Week in History 2002. The Spy Changer versions of the 2001 Robots in Disguise, Optimus Prime, Ultra Magnus, and X-Bron and Scourge figures are released in Japan as the USA editions.
Now, this is when the Japanese release took place. These actually came out like the winter of 2001 before, yeah. Here.
God, so I remember looking like a madman to get these.
Yeah.
And I actually have a Cybecon version of these that I guess it was Doug Glenn or... No, Zobivor. Zobivor had repainted that Scourge into Laser Rod Optimus or Laser Prime.
Because this was still a couple of years before the came out. Versions yeah. came out.
And then the X-Bron, I think, was repainted into Bron. I think. It's somewhere. But they're hand-painted. I still cherish those things. They're amazing. They may actually be on my wall somewhere. I just have to dig them out. I don't spot it right now. But that was a nice little set.
Yeah, so Don was making some... He was casting aspersions on the Spy Changers earlier. I just want to point out that... Well, and, like, I like that Scourge so much. I tried for a while to try to find, like, a keyring loop and a chain that I could attach to it on the screw hole on the leg. Chain. So I could have it as a keychain.
Oh,
have
man.
Like one of my favorite little Spy Changers with me all the time. But like the Optimus Prime and Ultra Magnus ones are really interesting too, because while Scourge and X-Bron were completely new toolings also, these were larger figures still made on the same basic principle as the original Spy Changers all that started with, the G2 GoBots. So like... Robots in Disguise was so interesting because it took what Takara started with Car Robots, adding a few new molds and recoloring a bunch of stuff, and just ran with it and made it even better. I like the cartoon. I don't think I had the same affection for as I did back then, but that toy line I will always adore for the weirdness and just the originality it ended up bringing.
There's too many variations of the Spy Changers for my liking.
Well, that's
packaging
that's
variations.
True. Yeah, that's true. Packaging variations, even colored, you know, deco variations, like, you'd have to be a madman to try to own all of them.
I have most of the color variations, if I remember right. But
that's because you're a madman.
There's no way in hell I would ever get all the packaging variations, especially any time they included, like, a freaking metallic tin case. Screw that stuff. That stuff can go to hell.
And then, I mean, there's also the smaller packaging variations where some of the names changed partway through. Because, you know, like, the Wave 1 Spy Changers had a Race Evolution vehicle. And the ones that shipped in the winter of that year, it changed it to Race Exertion Vehicle because someone at Hasbro realized the mistake they had made.
Yeah. Yeah. but that was a great line. It was a simpler time, and I really miss those. You know, speaking of simpler times, it was only 7 years ago. But in 2010, Transformers Prime premieres on the Hub with Darkness Rising Parts 1 and 2. Do you remember after that aired that we immediately went to record, like, our thoughts so we could post a podcast about it?
Yeah, I had to miss G.I. Joe Renegades for it.
In hindsight, that you probably missed out because G.I. Joe Renegades was definitely better than the first season of Prime.
I like G.I. Joe Renegades.
Yeah, it was way better than Prime was.
Prime was
really It was a really interesting concept for G.I. Joe, and here we are talking about G.I. Joe with a Transformers Prime history item.
Well, I mean, it's fitting. There's nothing much to talk about with Darkness Rising.
Prime is good. There's the Rock.
Can you smell what he's cooking?
for a minute.
I mean, they hyped that up so much for weeks before that premiere. And then, yes, he was dead within 2 minutes of the show starting.
Yeah.
And Starscream wouldn't shut up about it for the whole rest of the series.
Yeah.
Which kind of turned around and made it great again. But, I mean, like, that's just... That was a major mislead on their part, advertising the Rock.
It was.
Like,
I mean, yeah, it totally was. Wasn't there something similar with Renegades that happened going back to Renegades?
I can't remember that specifically with that.
Because I thought somebody died that ended up coming back.
Oh, yeah. One of the characters in the pilot did appear to die and then came back later with the, like, zombie Viper tech or something.
Yeah, I was hoping The Rock would do the same.
Something like that. Yeah, because, I mean, well, no, they turned the Cliffjumper into a zombie in that 5-part pilot, but he wasn't The Rock anymore.
No, he wasn't.
And even in the flashback, they recast him.
I was really happy, though, when I finally got the zombie Cliffjumper figure.
Oh, yes.
I was really happy when someone bought mine, finally.
I have two, I think. I still have JD's, or maybe I sold it, but I was up in my attic this weekend, and I was digging through, like, all the boxes that I was trying to store up there, and that was one of the boxes, and yeah, it's too much crap.
I mean, it's a cool and interesting concept. It was one of the better SDCC exclusives.
That got a retail release too, didn't it? Finally, I thought.
In Japan, they released a version of that, but the deco was completely different. It was, like, all translucent purple.
Yeah, I got that somewhere.
I don't think they did a retail zombie Cliffjumper release in the U.S. Yeah. But, like, you know, it mostly spent its time living in its packaging. It's pretty, pretty packaging with the Cliffjumper zombie head bust thing. So after a certain point, it's just like, there's no value in me having this anymore.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to my shelf.
The tacos I could buy with this.
Absolutely. Hey, let's jump to the big item. And this week's big item is something that I've known about for a while. And you guys have been working on for months and months, and I think it's the coolest thing. Rob, Chris, why don't you tell us about it?
Okay, well, we have introduced a new feature at T-Formers called the Wave Tracker. And the idea is that it is a place to go and see exactly where we are with a specific wave of toys at a glance. Has something shipped yet? Are pre-orders up? Has it been sighted in your part of the world? Are there reviews or galleries available for it? You know, basically anything you'd want to know about a specific upcoming figure. And, you know, we wanted to put all that in one place and have an easy to find status on these things so that you wouldn't have to be guessing all the time as to when exactly these things are going to happen.
So, because we realize, like, not everybody can do the kind of things we do where we dig through all the news on a daily basis. We retain, you know, 90% at best of what we read about all this. You know, I can organize all this stuff in my head pretty easily, which has come in handy for this, admittedly. But a lot of people can't. And this is a way for everybody else to be able to get access to that information without having to go to, like, depths of research to dig it out. Because, I mean, if you think about it, there's probably a lot of people that don't even know what specific toys are in what specific wave without having to go to, like, a retailer website and look it up. Yeah. But now they can.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the plan. The, you know, as much information as you hopefully will ever need about a given wave of toys in one place.
For right now, we're focusing the coverage on Hasbro Generations, also whatever line's going to succeed, Robots in Disguise. We don't really know about that yet, but since Robots in Disguise is basically done with, we don't have that included. So we got Generations, we're doing Takara Legends, we have Masterpiece on there, that'll be for Hasbro releases, one applicable, and the Takara releases. We've got the oddball stuff too, like the Street Fighter, Transformer crossovers. What else do we have on there?
You should go back in time and go all the way back to, like, at least Armada.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, if we could actually go back in time and start this project, then that would be useful, but yeah.
Actually, but yeah. At that point, it would only be worth capturing things that actually never came out.
And there was enough of that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we're trying for, at the moment, because there's going to be basically two people working on the upkeep of this. We are trying to keep it to officially released transforming figures by Takara and Hasbro, because Transformers is freaking vast even before you get into third party, and trying to get any bigger than that, we would have no spare time and go insane. Yeah. So
you should do third party, and I want the date it was announced and the date it was released.
Well, third party doesn't have waves.
Yeah,
but no, I
they have, like, waves of Springers. Pile all this.
That's good. That was really good. Okay, the big sad face. I love that as a header. Machinima Titans Return, Episode 4, Overlord and Emissary. First and foremost, I have not watched a single episode of this yet, but I did go back to listen to see if Overlord did sound like Foghorn Leghorn, and he sounds more like Colonel Sanders to me.
That's kind of the same difference.
So Colonel Sanders is a little more nasally in a higher pitch.
I didn't think Overlord was very nasally, though.
I don't think he sounds like Foghorn Leghorn, though.
Maybe he did sound foul no matter what.
Oh, yeah, God, I mean, maybe it's more of a Colonel Sanders accent with Foghorn Leghorn delivery.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
He sounded like a thug. A run-of-the-mill, generic
thug.
Just
I'm Overlord.
Just, yeah, no, just, that just, sounds like Blanche from the Golden Girls.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay, where are our Golden Girl Transformers? We got Star Wars Transformers.
Oh, God, I would buy those. I would buy the heck out of those.
So RC is Sophia.
Aww. RC is Rose.
No.
RC's got the RC's head shape kind of fits Sophia's hairdo more.
Ultra Magnus is Blanche. No, Ultra Magnus.
Boss?
No,
Dorothy.
Dorothy. I can never remember. So B. Arthur. Dorothy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're going for head shape, you know, equaling hairstyle, I think Chromia would be Blanche.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm like going like strictly season 3. Mm. So, man, Sophia would be Springer.
Which one?
Okay. So, did anybody actually watch this?
Yeah, I watched it.
Did you like it?
I watched it.
I mean,
I liked it.
Okay.
Is it better than Combiner Wars?
It is that. It is at least that.
But not by much.
Yeah.
Short trip.
Yeah. The title is accurate. We get those two characters. So we have, you know, Foghorn Sanders Overlord, and we have Jason David Frank as Emissary.
How'd that turn out?
He wasn't in it for very long. He didn't have
he disappeared and came back
for very much.
He came back as the white emissary.
Something. I get your reference.
How much do we want to say? I mean, I thought it there was comedy in it.
So I wouldn't go into spoilers, but give your thoughts.
I mean, somebody out there will care. There was comedy in it, and I enjoyed it. Emissary was a non-factor because it seemed like he was going to help, but it didn't seem to help that much.
Yeah.
He was a MacGuffin.
Wait, it seemed like it was going to help, but it didn't help that much. So that sounds like the additional voice cast for the series.
Well, I'm trying not to spoil anything, but I mean, go watch the episode and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think Brian was making fun of your description here, Diecast. I think he was making fun of the gimmick celebrity casting.
I would just be happy if John were back. I mean, I don't think it'd make it good.
Job last time. I mean,
I like John better than I like Peter Cullen. That's wrong. I know, but I think I like him. I genuinely like him better.
Like as a person,
definitely as a person. So, that's our deep analysis on this episode that we can't really go into because of spoilers. But
that probably covers the depth that was there.
So if I were really if I were really, really crazy and gung-ho into things right now, we would totally have a spoiler podcast. No, we wouldn't. We would not have a spoiler podcast for this. I'm joking. Okay, so...
I don't keep your way because I could opt out of that.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing, but not by much.
Sometimes, nothing is better than something.
I'm sorry, I just got to thinking, they advertised the first one as the Game of Thrones of, Transformers shows. So if it's better than nothing, this is the Mighty Number 9 of Transformers shows.
I might, when this is over, do what I did with Combiner Wars and just watch the whole thing in one pass.
That's probably the best way to do it. Or
I
might not.
I might wait till I have a really high fever and do it.
I might wait until the Target exclusive edition of the Bumblebee movie comes out and they have it all on the bonus features disc.
Oh, yeah, and just get it all out at once.
Oh, hi, Massey.
Hi, Massey. Okay, so go ahead.
Oh, one last thing. Okay. Just my biggest complaint about this so far is that the extended length of these episodes does help the pacing a little bit, but they're often just stretches where they are obviously stalling for time to get to that length with the animation they have, which is not a good idea.
There's a lot of pauses and visual. Nothing's being said. There's no action. You've just got characters standing there against the background.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just trying to
this is filmation.
So would you say there is a possibility, based on what you're seeing, that the decision to have longer episodes came at some point after the scripting process was completed?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but it would not surprise me.
Well, so far the extra length hasn't resulted in more story, deeper characterizations, or anything you would use the extra time for.
It's just made it take longer.
Yeah.
And it does at least make the episodes feel a little bit less abrupt. I mean, the ones they had before, these aren't quite so wait, that's it when you get to the end of it, which was the big problem I had with just about every episode of Combiner Wars. But it's not quite long enough to be, oh, thank God it's over either, but it's getting close.
It's like, Story, stop. And then it's like they just picked a point and said, end it here, whether it makes any sense or not.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is, if they're with the episodes running around 10 minutes each, it's perfect for something like putting on Adult Swim, where they have the 15-minute blocks, the halftime slots. Like, they could totally run this in that format if they wanted to at some point with this episode length.
Okay, I do not think Adult Swim would take it with this quality of animation, and you've seen what runs on Adult Swim.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force ran on Adult Swim, and... So, moving on.
Squidbillies.
I like Squidbillies, though.
Okay, but the animation quality is what we're talking about here.
Okay, so I don't quite know how to address this next one, so I'm going to read I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to hand over to Rob, because he wrote this.
Okay.
Downtown Cerebros update. Clear images of Fortress Maximus, face, photos of figures, and as it was written in the show notes, last week we had Street Fighter Cross Transformers, this week we have Downtown Cerebros.
Yeah.
What is this?
Okay, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Maybe it was one of the weeks you were off, but I don't remember.
I think so.
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is... Downtown is like a very well-known duo of comedians in Japan. They are basically the reason that an accent from a specific region of Japan is associated with comedy, because these guys, they've been at this for like 30, 40 years now. They're very popular. Every year they do a like end of year show where they take other comedians and basically lock them in a place, in a room, in a building where they do comedy skits at them and try and force them to laugh. And whoever laughs gets like hit with sticks, spanked, whatever, because, you know, slapstick. So,
literally.
Yeah.
So oh, Japan.
For some reason, they are making these guys into heads for a special release of Cerebros. And if you bought their last year's year-end special, which just came out in Japan, you could put in the serial number on the site, again, presuming you had a Japanese shipping address and method of payment, and send away for this Cerebros for about $100.
Are you getting this diecast?
No.
Why not?
It looks hideous.
It does look hideous.
It looks ridiculous, and I kind of like that. If you ever see one of these on Taobao for like $20, please tell me.
Yeah,
but I'd go that far.
I want to hear the sound chip.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure this doesn't have the Headmaster's theme.
I don't know what it has, and I really want to know. Someday, within, I think the order cutoff is January 31st, so sometime in like February or March, I think it might even be as late as May, I don't remember, we are going to see a really interesting video review of this thing.
I have no context for this, so I hear the Benny Hill theme.
I would consider buying a Cerebros that plays the Benny Hill theme, I'm not going to lie. Because that'd be the best thing to, like, you have City Mode, Fortress Maximus, Base Mode, whatever. And, you know, Titan Master is just arrayed all around, and they, like, start the Benny Hill music, just imagine them running all over the place. It kind of works, you know? So it's interesting, like, a lot of this stuff where it's, you know, mail away pre-order or whatever, order cutoff is January, and yeah, it doesn't get delivered till May or maybe June. It's kind of an insight into how the factory scheduling works. Because, you know, if they could get it produced faster after they know what number to order, they would. So, like, that kind of shows there's a 5-6 month turnaround time from the time they tell the factory, we want you to make this stuff for us, to the time they get it back and can be shipping it out. So, like, I like these little indirect insights into the process like this, even if the things that give it to us don't always make the most sense.
Yeah, speaking of stuff that doesn't necessarily make sense, at Tokyo Comic Con, Casio has shared a 30-second commercial for an upcoming G-Shock line of watches that features Optimus Prime. The video shows it turning into Optimus, and of course there's a history of transforming watches that we all love going back to the heyday of the 80s, but this isn't that. It's just a G-Shock watch that is cross-branded with Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make me sad that it doesn't transform. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
We need a new transforming watch. Third party, on that.
I didn't even realize that the watch was Transformers branded. I thought they just like had Optimus Prime in the commercial.
I don't think it's necessarily branded, because I don't see anything on it, but they're cross promoted.
Yeah.
Which is, again, I mean, you can, in America, if you cross brand something, you usually throw the label on it. Like, you'll have like My Little Pony on a watch or a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll have the logo on it.
I would totally own a really like nice watch with My Little Pony on it. No, I wouldn't. Maybe I would. Probably not.
Depends on how nice the watch was.
Depends on how nice the watch was and how cheap I could buy it. So,
exactly. Is the watch band made from horse leather?
Oh, this one looks like it's plastic.
Well, you also need to figure out which one will be the main six would be on there because you want to get the right pony.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll be shamed by your family.
Yeah. Don,
you might be shamed by your family for knowing enough about that to be able to even make that reference.
This is true.
I have a cat. That's all I have left.
We have the packaging for MPM 5, Movie Masterpiece Barricade. It looks nice, but Barricade always looks nice, at least in vehicle mode.
Barricade maybe doesn't look nice to me.
He never, in robot mode, looks nice.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a movie design, especially an early movie design, and those never look good. They got a lot better in the more recent movies, but the early stuff looks like bags of knives.
Yes, it's
thank you, Rob Springer.
Yes.
Yeah, this is an easy pass for me. I mean, I've got the Human Alliance figure. I haven't touched it in a while, but honestly don't see any need to even worry about that.
Love the vehicle mode. Love the vehicle mode, but robot mode.
I mean, I know there's fans of Barricade and specifically what he looked like in the first and third movie, because I don't think he even had a cameo in the second one. But yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. This doesn't do anything for me specifically, but it'll have its audience, I'm sure.
So we had a Hong Kong fan meetup where fans posted positioned Power of the Primes figures. This Optimus Prime kind of hurts my heart looking at it. I mean, he looks happy, but with those legs and everything.
Well, that is, of course, Optimus Prime's chest with the Ryan Pax's arms and legs. So,
yeah, but somebody's going to look at that and they're going to think that's what that toy looks like, which is why Hasbro doesn't like people posting photos of their toys before they get the chance to show them off, which is why they hate leaks, because it puts negative thoughts into people's heads.
Yeah, of course, half the time they do their own photos and they're screwed up somehow too.
Oh God, wasn't an official photo, the Starscream, was it, with the reflective base?
No.
Good. God, that was bad.
That's the next item.
Yeah. But I do like this one of Rodimus Prime, if it loads. Yeah, Rodimus Prime holding his head in the Matrix. I think that's phenomenal.
There's pictures in there of Optimus with Megatron's head in the Matrix holder.
Let me see if I can find that one. I wish we had... Wait, we do. They were called BotCon and TFCon. Never mind. We need fan meetups here in the U.S. What's up with that?
But they don't let us play with the toys, and, I call hacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to more be like, something the Pacific branch of Hasbro does, because, Australia gets this sometimes. Hong Kong gets it fairly frequently.
Oh God, there are too many photos. But go to TeamForce.com. They're there.
We would totally do photos like this.
Yeah, we would. Yeah. That's very nice.
You mean we would post photos of ourselves having fun with the toys they produce and want to sell to make people happy?
What? That's preposterous.
And we might even return them when we're done.
No.
Okay, let's see here. What else we got? Oops.
No, I would lick every one of them, and that would make them mine.
I like this Rodimus Prime picture. Did you see that one yet?
In super professional fashion, I clicked over to video of the show notes. So, So we have
spoilers.
Well, now you guys know what's coming up next.
We have
Power of the Primes. You gotta check out T-Formers, because that's an awesome photo.
Man, or you should check out T-Formers anyway, because we have things like the Wave Tracker and also, lots of news and video reviews this week also, but that's coming up later.
Now I see why I thought this was official. It's watermarked Hasbro.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that, but...
that's a bad photo.
It might just be... Well, it's a screen cap from a video. It might just be this person's way of delineating whether it's... which company makes it. Yeah.
Yeah. When I say it's a bad photo, I'm certain the video quality is fine, but that reflective rotator thing, that's the Lazy Susan, whatever, it's just bad.
I mean, I like a certain value of reflectivity in my photos for some kinds of effects, especially with the black background stuff. It makes it work a lot easier. I wouldn't do something like this where it's just a literally mirrored surface.
And it just makes the toy looks, the jet looks like it's just Starscream laying down, which it sort of is.
It is.
But that still hurts.
It is an accurate representation of what that toy is.
That's true. It is an accurate representation.
And those stickers do not help anything.
No. Yeah, so this video was very helpful. It completely unsold me on Starscream, even though I was most of the way there for myself already.
Yeah.
We'll see if Elita 1 is tolerable in at least the sticker respect, because damn.
So we have, are these new photos of the Darth Vader's TIE Fighter? Because it looks exactly the same like the photos we had before, except there may be some red and blue in it.
I think some of them are new, not all, but I grabbed them all just in case and put them up.
Yeah.
Oh, these are colored photos. Yeah, I don't think we had colored photos before. Yeah, but
the color is so sparse that it doesn't really matter.
I mean, TIE Fighters are colored like prototypes to start with.
Yeah.
Well, it was all gray before, and now it's
gray and some red and blue dots.
A gray plastic with a black and silver highlights, pretty much.
You're not helping your case here, Tyke.
Still not buying it.
I'm just looking at it. Like, it's not very good.
Well, okay. I'll say the same thing when we talked about it the first time. If this came out in the Hasbro market, and I could get it for like up to $30, I probably would, because this looks so much better. For whatever revisions they've done, it looks a lot better than the original Darth Vader TIE Fighter Transformer. Mm-hmm. I would not pay the $55-$60 this is going to cost from Japan.
So, I'm not getting this. So this is interesting to me, because I had originally pre-ordered LG 56 shot and then canceled it, because I felt that it didn't look different enough. But boy, it does look different.
It does.
It's blue.
That is dramatically different. I don't know that it's... Man, the face does look so much better.
The face is, and the helmet is so much better.
Oh, God, it's so much better.
Have you seen the packaging for LG 50?
Oh, God, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got a notification the other day that my pre-order should be in the next couple days. So
nice.
So it was interesting getting my LG 51 and 52 Double Cross and Misfire, because Amazon Japan didn't fulfill Misfire immediately. So Double Cross shipped out first. I wasn't sure if Misfire was going to go out in time, but like Sunday night they sent out Misfire Sunday night. U.S. time, and Tuesday afternoon, 40 hours later, it was in my hands.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Actually, what did I get? Oh, that was Lambor Sideswipe. Yeah. It shipped Friday, and I had it
Monday.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's amazing. Yeah,
my double cross got here Monday. Its original arrival estimate was Tuesday, but it got here a day early.
Let's see if I can order 6 shot from Amazon real quick.
Yeah.
Good luck.
The broadside doesn't appear to be humongously different.
So they swapped out one of the gray plastic trees for additional red plastic. And they also changed some of the clear blue to opaque. So like the gun is now gray instead of clear blue.
And I imagine it's not covered in horrible foil stickers.
Whoa, shipping on this is $20.
It's a big thing.
Yeah. It is definitely a thing.
Oh, man.
So my next month's order of Slugslinger and Octane comes out to a total of like 9,400 yen. And there's like, 1,700 shipping on that because of the size of the boxes. But it's still cheaper and faster than buying it from, U.S. sellers.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and order it because it's going to let me.
Do we have any third-party news this week?
Not really.
No.
Okay. I have to ask, did anyone see those additional photos of Fans Toys RC with Springer?
So, yes, they are. They made me angry.
I don't understand.
Nobody I've seen has reacted positively to those, I want to point out, which gives me some reassurance about our fandom.
Yeah,
I kind of laugh.
Hope it's for humanity.
I don't know that they were in the story that I saw last week. I didn't go all the way to the end because there are ones that had her sort of laying seductively that I didn't want to go past.
That was as far as the ones in the story went. From what I understand, the ones that Diecast is referencing were sent to one or more retailers directly, which may or may not have been meant for publication.
That, I mean, like, why would you even do that? Like, you know, what a fan does with their toys is one thing.
For the record, if those had been the original batch for the story I posted, I would have left those out of what went up on T-Formers.
Yeah.
I we're adult collectors.
Yes, which means we should be mature and know better.
Yes, I was about to say, which means we should act like it sometimes.
No, I think that means we're collecting toys sometimes.
Well, okay.
It's okay to not.
Okay, Six Shot is ordered.
Yeah.
Okay, put it this way, as a private collector, if you want to do that and take a picture and inflict it upon people you know, that's one thing. I don't remember if it was one or more pictures, but that was done evidently on an official capacity within Fans Toys and then sent to retailers, at least one retailer. You're kind of getting into a different order of things here.
Yeah, if anybody wants to do that with their own toys, that's their business. But just taking that picture for one as the seller, and for another sending it to retailers, is just unprofessional on a variety of levels.
And
I did consider at one point, when I was doing the Nightbird Gallery, not for putting in the gallery, but just Twitter or whatever, having Nightbird standing in front of the Voyager Titan's Return Megatron holding the Titan Master. With the caption giving Megatron head, but I didn't I know better.
So my thought, here's the way I sort of try to judge these things. If you were to look at that photo at work, and if it were to get you fired, they probably shouldn't take the photo.
Yeah, so, I don't think the photo was that bad. It wasn't to that point.
You also didn't think Combiner Wars was that bad, and you don't seem to think Titans Return is that bad. You also like Revenge of the Fallen.
Yes.
Does Springer talk like Foghorn Leghorn in this photo?
Okay. Yeah, but that's certainly a thing. So actually, I guess we talked about Six Shot. Broadside doesn't look much different. If you want Power of the Primes, they are available right now at tfradio.net/Amazon. Which ones are still available? Do you know?
It'll just cost you an arm and a leg. No, I think I don't know if any of them are available through Amazon directly right now.
Yeah, so what was available before, when we were first talking about this in the email, it was the Voyagers, it was Jazz, and I think the...
Oh, God, yeah, Prime you're right. Masters? Yeah, don't buy them through our link right now, unless you really want to.
And those were all on pre-order status for delivery sometime in December.
Yeah. December 15th were at least
okay. That's what I was thinking about,
because I did pre-order them.
Amazon does have product pages for the other deluxes and the legends, but none of them were available to order or pre-order at the time. I haven't checked on them lately.
Yeah,
couldn't find the leaders, but I'm sure they're up there somewhere too.
Yeah. In the chat, going back to what we were talking about a second ago, our pal Nightwing Num 1 said that sending them might not have been on purpose, possibly, but watermarking them was... You can batch watermark, but the placement when you batch it, though, I don't think they're all watermarked in the same spot, were they? That's automated.
That's a good question.
That's not automated.
Yeah, that is a good question.
TFradio.net/Amazon. Whatever you get helps us out, helps pay for the show, and we could use your help. That'd be great. We would love you forever. Let's see here. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, I have got a review of the last issue of Rom vs. Transformers Shining Armor number 5. Number 5 being the final issue. Man, I phrased that badly. Anyway, it's a really good issue. It's been a good series. Alex Milne has said on Twitter repeatedly that he had the time of his life working on this. He and Josh Perez did a great job with it. It's a fun comic, and it is definitely worth reading.
Let me point out something real quick. They are all watermarked in the same spot.
Okay, yeah.
Probably a batch process, but at the same time then, you should know to be careful and not have stuff in the folder with it that shouldn't go out.
Very possibly not on purpose, but I would never take
the photos. Stronger editorial controls, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we've got XV's review of Lost Light issue 11, which is,
it sure is.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if I can use the word I want to use here.
Probably not. If you want to find out more about those words, well, I was going to direct them to your Twitter, but you won't even talk about it there. Basically, I structured the review as an analysis of what Getaway has become at this point versus where he was like 20 issues ago, because that seemed to be the most apt take on what the issue was actually presenting us.
Yeah,
it's not a rave. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's not as negative as the one I did of issue 7 or 8, I think it was. But pretty much everything I did not like about that issue, I took a look at this one, is still happening here. So if you're of the same mind that XV and I have been about Lost Light for a while now, this is, you know, not a good jumping back on point, let's say.
Yeah, I wanted to check out this storyline specifically, and I'm going to stick with it to the end, but I can't imagine part 3 next month is going to encourage me to get back on board the book full time.
Which is a shame, because from the sound of things, the last issue was really quite good. So
the last issue was better, possibly because it wasn't all from Getaway's point of view.
Yeah, that probably helps.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, next issue will be better if that's also the case there.
Yeah. Beyond that, we have the rest of Power of the Primes Deluxe Wave 1. XV has put out a ton of video reviews this week.
Yeah, so I did Slog on, what, Sunday? And then yesterday and today I got Dreadwind and Swoop finished.
Yeah, so a lot of reviews up. You should definitely take a look. He has done a lot of work this last couple of weeks, and it all looks great.
I'm tired.
It's about I bet.
Is that it?
Yep.
Cool. Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, Rascals, or as Chris decided to call it, Starfleet Babies. This week's in the absence of Discovery or even the Orville, we focus on Rascals from TNG Season 6, wherein we learn that wacky space phenomena can not only reverse puberty in humanoids, but also flowers and shuttlecraft walls. And Will West joins us this week for Star Trek and to talk about the Golden Girls cinematic universe. Only 4 more episodes to go until that one episode of SG-1.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Being Awesome with Rob Springer, episode 127, New Part, Old Part. This Week in Awesome, Rob awakens from his turkey dinner slumber to answer Q&A regarding items on toy molding. Spoilers. Terms on toy molding. Spoilers. It's not very clear. And don't forget to check out Rob's site, ZoneBase, at zonebase.org. RPG Lessons Learned, episode 30. I'm going to try this name.
Also, Agandithus.
I wanted to try it.
Ilsor Agandithus.
Yeah, that
name.
You
probably would have got it right, too, because even I was able to figure it out when I was putting the show notes together today.
Yeah. School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, Pathfinder. This week, Dusty, Brian, and Mike continue their Pathfinder campaign. Sometimes you can pull all the right pieces into play, and the game at the table is still only mostly good. Dusty focused a game on Brian's character, gave the players a little of everything except a clear goal.
And Diecast, you have a new review up, don't you, at RSC Reviews?
Kind of. It's an unboxing. It's the unboxing.
That means there's a review coming.
Yes, there is a review coming that I will be working on. But if you want to see me unbox the Red Dragon from, I kept saying Singapore, and it's not, it's Shanghai. So I messed up on that video. I don't know why Singapore was in my head, but it was the Shanghai SGC 2017. And it's exclusive of 300 pieces. And like I said, mine was 143 of 300.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So happy I got it, and definitely check it out because it's great. It was the first unboxing video I did. And like I said, I'm going to do a proper review of it, too.
Awesome. You've done unboxing before. You did an unboxing of a loot crate in the past.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I was doing the loot crate.
You unboxed a Pebble smartwatch.
Yep.
Yeah. might want to stay away from loot crates for the time being. I was making a joke with the whole loot crate controversy behind Battlefront.
No, those are loot boxes.
I know. I was trying to make a joke. If John was here, he would appreciate it.
He would appreciate it. You can find the show notes for this episode at tfradio.net/547. Leave us a voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. And you can also send us a text there, and you can send us a tweet at TF Radio, like us at facebook.com/TF Radio, and follow us on Instagram at TF Podcast. Chris, how do people get a hold of you?
I have a Flickr account. It's flickr.com/ChrisRTXV. You can follow me if you have a Flickr account for some reason, or at least, you know, bookmark it. I actually put a new photo up for the first time in like a week and a half because I actually had like 5 minutes I wasn't shooting video. It's Swoop. I'm happy with it.
Cool. And I'm glad that you actually said something, because I was really killing time because I forgot that we got a text from our pal, our listener and friend, John Triclops, who said that we talked about the issue with Jazz that happened a week back.
Yeah.
And he had pointed out, so in the story, Hasbro said that a vendor had caused the change in the design of the toy, the art design. And he actually has done some work for Hasbro before, and he said, as far as Hasbro is concerned, which we speculated, a vendor is any group or individual that supplies goods or services billable to Hasbro. So a vendor is anything there. So if anybody is, if it was a third-party contractor working on the art, which they do, they've definitely done it with G.I. Joe and Transformers, so it makes sense. And thanks, John. We really appreciate that. Don, how do people get a hold of you?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR.
Diecast?
You can see my reviews at RFC Reviews on YouTube. You can follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast. And you can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2.
Matt?
Chris has a Flickr account at ChrisRTXV.
Rob?
I am on Twitter at Figure Viewers and at FlailThroughs, and I am on YouTube at FlailThroughs. You can also see everything that we do as video for T-Formers on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
So I am personally on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. And you can find my Happy Day podcast, which I do every single day, at BrianKilby.com. It's all there. And my new Christmas album is available there at BrianKilby.com/Xmas2017. And last year's album is at BrianKilby.com/Xmas2016. And if you're listening to this before Friday, December 1st, I have a concert this weekend, Friday night, 9 p.m. You can hear me sing to you the most beautiful Christmas music that you've ever heard.
Brian, I had an idea for next year's Christmas album.
Ooh, so do you want to tell me now or share offline?
No, I will tell you now what the idea is. It is Brian Kilby sings Brian Kilby. You need to be singing along to your first Christmas album.
So I don't know if you listened to it, but I actually had at least one track where I did duet with myself.
Okay, no, I missed that.
Yeah,
I will have to see.
He says he missed it. He probably, like the rest of us, did not listen to the album at all.
I sent you all copies.
Oh, I listened to it.
Yes, I burned one.
I did listen to it.
Did you send me a copy?
Yes. I sure did last year.
Oh, yeah.
We all got a copy.
Merry Christmas.
I did consider trying to find like a metal can and burning it in effigy, but I, you know, can't be bothered.
Did you actually burn it?
I was going to video it and everything.
You didn't actually burn it, did you?
So I have a Flickr account. Okay. It's flickr.com/ChrisRTXV. Also, Matt, if you had really been, like, you know, on the ball at that point, you would have given my Twitter info instead of my Flickr that I already said voluntarily.
I did it on purpose, though. Just
Oh, okay.
It's all part of his master plan.
Oh, also, did we plug John in absentia?
At that John D everywhere, and Rob Springer is at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter and at ZoneBase.org. We'll be back next week. See you then. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron.
Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?